The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
KNUS.
Step right on it. Good morning, everyone. It is 7 a.m. It's a Monday, April the 19th, 2021. This is a way cool hour. 710 KNUS Weather Center weather on a Monday. Again, it's you pick 'em. It says rain to snow, and I don't know where it goes from there. Tomorrow, sunny and breezy, but Wednesday's 53 degrees. I got to tell you something. This is so cool. These, first of all, they're women of their word. Number two, they have taken on a tough job. And number three, I really respect them. Billy, if you take Christy's mic, I've got Priscilla's mic in studio, and they both promised and they kept their promises. Christy Burton Brown, what is your title, the exact title you hold now?
I'm the chairwoman of the Colorado Republican Party.
And Priscilla Rada's with us, and your exact title is?
Vice chairwoman.
I can tell you something. I've been working on this job for over 10 years. You are the first two Republicans to come in here and sit down with us. And Billy and I were chuckling about it. My respect is immense. I just think the world of both of you. You've come in and you've taken on just a monster task. Let's take it one at a time. Your backgrounds first. Christy, if you would, your background and how and why you decided to do this. If you would, please.
Oh, sure. So for the last 2 years, I was the vice chairman in Priscilla's spot the last 2 years. And so I really got to see the inside of the state party, so many campaigns, how it all works. And I believe with that information and knowledge and experience that I gained, I can take the party to the next level because I saw how it works. I know what's wrong. I know it needs to be fixed. And just myself, I'm a constitutional attorney, mom of two kids, and I've worked on policy in the legislature before, helped negotiate the free speech on campus bill. So really just center on our principles and our constitutional rights, which certainly our party needs to stay true to.
Where'd you grow up?
A mix all up and down the West Coast, and then moved to Colorado when I was just about nine.
Where'd you go in undergrad?
I just went straight to law school, actually.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, Oak Brook College of Law. It's a little Christian law school in California. Super great school.
And Priscilla, I know you from when you ran for regent. That's where I first saw you. We've never met before till this morning. If you would, your story's pretty cool too, if you would.
Sure. I'm a proud daughter of an Army veteran, and my mom's an immigrant from Korea. I'm currently a public school teacher in Denver Public Schools, and I'm a wife and stepmom and small business owner. And I decided to run for vice chairman because I was inspired by people like Christy and taking a look at the landscape of public education and the changes. And I feel like I represent what the left doesn't think exists. As a woman of color, who's a conservative, our voices matter. And I just felt like it was going to be a great opportunity to represent a wider range of voices.
Billy's putting some headsets together. We'll get some calls in here. So if you want to speak to these women, 303-696-1971. And they promised they would take calls. And I respect you guys immensely. We were talking this morning. I got two questions. Number one, what's wrong with you that you wanted to have this job?
Well, answer to that.
Remember when people say me, they send me an email, what's wrong with you? Where do you want to begin?
Oh, that's great. Well, yeah. I mean, I think we just need people who are going to tackle it. Currently, yes, we're the minority party in Colorado, but the Democrats are struggling too. 41% of voters are unaffiliated. Right. Coloradans are independent-minded people. And our values, when you look at how people vote on the ballot in initiatives, often match up with Republican values, but we haven't made the connection for them that our candidates stand for the things they believe in. And so it's that kind of messaging that really brands us instead of letting the Democrats always corner us that I just want to tackle.
You both watched this for a long time. Priscilla, if they say when the train went off the tracks, and I have my own opinion, when did the Republican Party, like the moon, begin to wane and struggle? Because there was a time when I was a kid in this business. This is a Republican state. I mean, the senators were both Republicans. The governor's Republican. Most Congress people, except for Denver, were Republicans. And you guys all know that.
Yeah, I know there are a lot of theories where people talk about the complacency, where we were comfortable at, in the state of Colorado being Republicans, and then we just became inactive. And what we saw is, you know, when you read the book, The Blueprint, mm-hmm. there was a plan to take over mm-hmm. Colorado. And we're waking up to that. A lot of people are paying attention to politics and what's being said. And, you know, we talked a little bit the last time mm-hmm. about President Reagan, and there mm-hmm. was a time where Democrats and Republicans can work together on policy issues, but we've become hyper-partisan, and a small narrative has started to dominate conversations socially. So we just need to have more conversations around the dinner table with friends who are not necessarily politically minded.
How do you slow it down? I mean, we're in hyperdrive right now. The social justice warriors, the politically correct, you're nodding your head, the Democratic Party, the media, professional sports, college sports, the Olympics, Hollywood, the music business, academia, and corporate America. They're all stacked up against you ladies. God. You know that.
Well, yeah, and I think at some point it all becomes un-American. And I guess I have faith in the American people that they are realizing that as we speak, honestly. Americans don't stand for control like that. And the level of control that the other side and all the institutions they control want to exercise over our jobs, our kids, our opportunities to expand and explore the American dream, it is slamming down families, average middle-class working people like the family I grew up in. And I think it's incumbent on us as Republicans to say, we are the party that offers you choices. We are the party that believes you should be able to have opportunities, and they just want to control you.
But I mean, I'm lost in this. You and I have talked about this. We've all talked about it. I actually imagine this radio show. I change who I'm talking to, who the show's about. But there's this couple that exists in my head, and I'm not making this up. They live in North Glen. I've actually, you know, and they're both working. They have kids. They have a mortgage. The guy's car broke down. His boss is a pain in the rear end. One of the kids is homesick. Everybody's worried. That's the couple. Don't worry about the professor at DU, or don't worry about some arch conservative at Cherry Hills Country Club. It's in the middle. Elections are won in the middle.
Absolutely. You know, people in Colorado care about their jobs. They care about their children's education and their future. They care about the ability to create a prosperous life. You know, the mm-hmm. things that we value in our Constitution is what people care about. And when we, you know, I, as a teacher, I've watched something very practical happen as far as a problem, which is media raising kids. Oh. I mean, parents are putting these screens in front of their kids, and that's what's raising them. So why, it's not a surprise that we have this bankrupt social culture where kids just don't have values that we used to have when we were growing up.
You're nodding your head.
Well, I entirely agree. And I think this is why I was so excited when Priscilla won for the vice chairman spot.
Oh, she's hot. She's being, great. Yeah,
being
she's
a
smart.
Teacher and and showing that the Republican Party is actually the party that cares about education, which parents are talking about so much in the middle of COVID, too.
How do you right the ship? How do you pull it back?
Well, there's a whole lot of things we have to do.
No, seriously.
But seriously, I really sincerely believe that branding ourselves is key. We have let the mainstream media and the Democrats corner us into only the issues they think define Republicans. We have to bring it back to the center, to those kind of families that you're talking about, and talk about the issues affecting them in their neighborhoods, their communities every single day. You may have heard me talk on the Capitalist show. Some people might have heard about a contract with Colorado.
Sure.
We're going to be releasing one as the Republican Party in Colorado. Brand ourselves. And then Priscilla is going to focus a ton on community relationships. I think that's key, that we don't just talk about it. We mean it. And she has amazing ideas on how to get that done for us.
If you just joined us, Christy Burton Brown, first time I meet both of these women, Priscilla Rod, they are the brain trust. These are the people that are in charge of the Republican Party. And I think we've all talked about this. And again, lines are open. You can stack up. Because after we take a break, we'll plug headsets in and take calls. 303-696-1971. And I think, Priscilla, you and I spoke about Reagan. And we're both, I'm sure all three of us are big Reagan fans. In my mind, he's the last great American president. It was Ronald Reagan. And he came out, he was two-term governor of California, but he was not wanted by the Republican establishment, and that's why they cobbled him with Herbert Walker Bush. You got to find that guy, that man or that woman, before all this other groundwork, and I know there's people that are out there, you know, doing things, but you got to have the magnet. You got to have the... When Reagan stepped up and gave those speeches, and we've talked about it, he gave the same speech. He did. He just gave it a different way. I mean, he'd do this, but it always came back to this wonderful heart speech that Ronald Reagan gave. And you're smiling.
Bingo, right? Bingo. Yeah, bingo. The word you just used was heart. Yeah. And when you listen to Reagan speak, he talked philosophically, and he brought us back to think. He was, when we talk as educators about, we want to teach kids how to think, not what to think. We don't propagandize kids. We don't indoctrinate kids.
But they do.
But we do, right. We shouldn't be, is what I mean. Like, we need to teach the average American how to talk philosophically. Like, what do you value? What's core to the things that are important to you? And that's how you make those decisions about what's great for America.
Where do you think the country lost its way? Because I do. I think the country's lost its way.
I think in part it was when Barack Obama became president, because he promised hope and change. I mean, I was pretty young when he got elected. I heard his speeches, and had I not had foundational values, I would have believed what he was saying. And I think so many people hung their hats on this hope and change and saw the country begin to crash. Divides were created. And I think a lot started there. And I'd also say just the indoctrination that happens in schools, not from people like Priscilla, but from so many others. And parents don't do enough to combat that with their children.
See, I believe it happened way before then, but I mean, it either way. Or Priscilla, your thoughts?
Yeah, I think when we have a group of political leaders that are elected who are not term limited, who get comfortable, and they can be manipulated and controlled, and they feel like they have a lot of power, which they do, they forget. The higher up you go, the more you forget about what's happening to the everyday people. And I believe that they're just disconnected in D.C. They're disconnected to what really matters. When you have a politician who, during a pandemic, has several tubs of ice cream, and that's what she brags about, people who can't pay their rent, you're disconnected to the average.
And that's the person or this demo that you guys have to gain.
Absolutely.
And if you gain those people, you can win. You know, I come back to, right now you have a puncher's chance. They talk about that in prize fighting. You know, he got a hell of a right hand. If he connects it, he can win this fight. In the meantime, he's going to have a struggle. And you got a puncher's chance right now.
We do. We have the perfect opportunity to rebrand our party and talk to the working class, average American here in Colorado, which, again, I grew up in a family precisely like that, middle class, struggling to provide for our family. That's the position my parents were in. So we know what those people care about, talk about, and need in their lives on a daily basis. And we have to stop talking at this, like, 1,000-foot level, all the statistics on taxes, and talk about people's lives and their stories and their needs and identify with them.
And that's what Reagan did. He really did. He didn't, you know, he put it to such a level that guys like my dad, who was not an educated guy and who was a lifelong Democrat, liked Ronald Reagan. Go figure. You know, and even when you, and I recommend this book probably too many times, but a book called Shattered, about Donald Trump's first run and how he beat Hillary Clinton, because the way that he was going into places that were traditionally Democrats, you know, Wisconsin, Indiana, those places. And he won because he said at that time he said the right things, and people rallied to it.
Wherever you sit with Trump, he did relate to the working class, minority people. He said to the black community, "What do you have to lose?"
Sure.
And we can go back to the 1960s and see. Prior to the Civil Rights Bill, we had only a 20% single-family home. Now we're in the 60s. You know, we did not go forward as the minority community. And that's what I need to remind the black community and minority communities. Like, we need to stop giving our votes to the Democrats who've done nothing for us. They haven't delivered. They haven't helped our people. Like, we're sitting in more of a deficit, and we have a president who looks at us in a deficit mindset. When he says things like, he believes we don't know how to use the internet. He believes we don't know how to figure out how to vote. He believes that we don't have access to getting an ID. This deficit mindset, there are people in the minority community who are eating this up and believe it. And what I'm here to do is say, wake up. You're smart. You're capable. You can vote. You can get an ID. You know how to access information. If you want to go get a shot, you know where to go, a clinic in your neighborhood. Black people need to be smarter than that. And they need to make sure that any elected official that wants their vote earns their vote.
We're in this moment right now. I mean, I knew I was going to talk to you. You guys were coming in studio, and I was really pumped. I said, hey, the women are coming in. But I think we're past crossroads right now. We're into some really bad place in this country, and it has to be brought back. And I look at DeSantis in Florida. He may be the guy. The woman who's governor of South Dakota may be. There's a lot of maybes out there. But right now, the Republican Party's kind of in free fall, and it's kind of trying to figure out who it is. Here in Colorado is a microcosm of that problem.
Sure.
Yeah.
No, I think you're right. But I think we have a perfect opportunity, because if you look across America's history, there have been devastating, terrible times all in our history, but you saw people who still believed in everything America was and the hope of everything America stands for in the world and what our party specifically stands for. We are the party of freedom, the party of civil rights. And believing that and acting on it and saying hope is never lost, we have some fight left in us. That's what we have to take to Colorado.
There's a wonderful book called The Nightingale Song, and Ronald Reagan's the nightingale. And as the story goes about nightingales, no nightingale sings until it hears another nightingale sing first. And all these really brave men that watched the devastation of the military through certainly Lyndon Johnson, Richard Nixon, and then thrown away by Jimmy Carter, and Reagan came in, and he was the nightingale, and he sang and they heard him. Colorado, and I was thinking about this last night, knowing I was going to talk to you, Colorado needs a nightingale. And I'm serious, as a heart attack. That book had a lot of impact on me. But we need a nightingale. And to be that Reagan character, I know it sounds poetic, but we need that. And I don't see it.
Well, I love what you're saying, Peter, and you're absolutely right. You know, fear is a very powerful emotion. It controls a lot of people. But something that's even more powerful than fear is hope.
Yep.
And that's what we have right now at this time in Colorado in the Republican Party, because people have been activated. Mm. They're awake. They're angry. They're paying attention. They're listening. They're asking questions. And they're ready to work. And so that's why we're going to have a different GOP.
Well, I took a bike tour two Sundays ago, the homeless stuff, the boarded up downtown, and I think it was interesting when Jared Polis brought the All-Star game here, they didn't even deal with Michael Hancock. They just, your history is so long. But that was a brilliant move by Polis. That was a very bright move by Polis. I mean, as much as you and I look at it, you got to look at these guys for who they are, know your enemy. And it's a brilliant move, smart move. Media loves him. He's head and shoulders, and Michael Bennett, the invisible senator. When's the last time you guys even saw him?
Right. Well, and when does the media ask him how many town halls he's held? They were all over Cory Gardner for that, but never Bennett.
But it won't happen.
Oh, no. Of course, it's double standards. And so we're playing at a disadvantage, but that doesn't mean we can't go fight all out and take him to the mats.
I think so. I mean, I really think so.
We have to.
But I think there has to be this huge brain trust. There has to be this, but principally, and then we'll pause and then we'll take calls. You're going to have to find the nightingale. And I don't know if there's anybody holding elected position in the Republican Party right now that could step forward and win the state. I'm being honest with you.
Well, sometimes it takes someone coming out of what you would call nowhere.
Bingo.
Who has the right heart, the right message, the right personality, and they can take it back.
Donald Trump stepped up. Now, I have my own problems right now with Donald Trump, but that first go round.
Oh, yeah.
He took them, and he took Hillary, and he took them. Now, so that can be done. But first of all, anybody else except Donald Trump would have lost to her. Do you believe that?
I think p- potentially.
Yeah, no,
I mean,
yeah, no,
because
no,
he
no,
was,
no,
he
no,
was
no,
so
no,
different. No. I think people were tired
exactly.
of the establishment.
No, and that's my
political
point.
Political establishment.
You know,
of
like, you know, love him or hate him, he threw that curveball, and she couldn't hit him. And you know, if it had been low energy Jeb or somebody like that, they'd have clipped her, or she'd have beaten them. And she was so sure. That's why the book is entitled Shattered, because these guys started out that she had shattered the glass ceiling.
Right, so she thought.
So they kept it titled that way. No, she was measuring for the drapes. I mean, she was
oh,
there.
Oh, no, she thought it was in the bag for
she
sure.
She did, too. And you know what?
So did all the media.
Everybody. And you know what? Shocked them. And in the end, she, for 4 years, you know, I was robbed. And no, you weren't, but... But the point of it is that it can happen. Like,
well,
lightning
know,
can strike.
He had one of those taglines, you think it, I say it.
Yeah.
And that says a lot about him understanding what the average everyday person was thinking. Mm-hmm. And he just said it. And it was, for a lot of people, pretty refreshing.
Absolutely. Yeah. And right now we have this lockstep Republican Party that's been clipped. And now you two ladies, your task in front of you. So let's do this. Billy, want to kill some mics in here. 303-696-1971. Christy Burton Brown, Priscilla Robb. What would you say the Republican Party needs to become a winner? Who's the candidate out there that you guys, again, coming off the bench, somebody that maybe nobody else thought about? John Elway's name came up. Interesting caller this morning. There's a new book out. I began reading it Saturday entitled Elway. It's a new biography. It's very good. So now what? 303-696-1971. Who can beat Jared Polis? And who could beat, look at Bennett. I mean, you'd never see Michael Bennett. Jared Polis is a front and center guy. Look, and he does that Lyndon Johnson. Look what I brought you. An all-star game without anything else going with it. And then suddenly the pandemic ends. You know, hey, pandemic's over. 303-696-1971. Your turn, 43. Stay here, 710 KNUS.
News Talk 710 KNUS. Listen live at radio.com.
Hi, this is Hugh Hewitt. Join me at 9 right after Pete on News Talk 710 KNUS.
Headsets are on. They're ready to go. Monday morning, April 19th, 2021. Good old 710 KNUS. What does the Republican Party need? What are the winning ideas for the Colorado Republican Party? What candidates are the winning candidates for the Republican Party? The women who control the party are in studio. Their word is good. It was interesting. Christy Burton Brown, who is now the head of the party, and we'd never met. She had done radio with Danny, and so when she won, then she went on a Saturday, and then Billy, I think, reached out Monday or Tuesday. True to her word, boom, she's on the radio. And Priscilla Rod was the same way. Boom, they came on the radio. And we have a running gag. I couldn't pay Republicans to come on here. And then they said, yeah, we'll both come in your studio, and here it is this morning, and both of them here in studio. 303-696-1971. Is it better to light a candle or curse the darkness? I think Shakespeare said. And it is better to light a candle. So now what is next? And 303, I punch up her other light just she's on the air. So we were talking off air as well. And I mean, I just have immense respect for you guys. And you both set an agreement. First of all, you know, you got to have the right person. And there has to be somebody out there that can pull all this together, have the charisma, be transparent enough that people go, oh, man, I really like him. And that was Reagan's MacGuffin. People liked Ronald Reagan. So...
Absolutely. We need someone that's approachable, can persuade, can relate to the issues and to people.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so many of these big races that are coming on in 2022 are still wide open. I mean, Republicans, we need candidates, and we have to have people who actually believe we can govern the state better than the Democrats, not just running as a placeholder, but someone who actually has that passion to fight for the working class. That's what we need in our candidates.
And we know that a well-known substance always runs downhill and always runs down on you. So at the top of the shops, Jared Polis, who's the challenger. There has to be a challenger. And then Michael Bennett.
Oh, yeah. We'll have them, but you go.
Well, I was going to say, you know, we talk a lot as conservatives and everyday people, whether you're on the right or the left, when you've lost your business permanently because of tyrannical decisions and you're not paying attention to the needs of the people. People in Colorado don't want a handout. They don't want to be on welfare. They want to be able to have pride and earn a living. And these are people who have created businesses and they're entrepreneurs and they have hopes and dreams and they've been crushed by this governor. And so I don't think people are going to forget when they go to the ballot box next year.
I mean, look at how many years we've had Democrat control in Colorado, and look that we have sunk to the bottom 48th in most likely state to recover from the pandemic, 44th in our transportation. That is under Democrat control. And the Democrats have this problem with the 41% of unaffiliated voters. They don't just have them in the bag. They're going to have to go make their case to them. And their case is a very flailing case at this point with everything that has been wrecked under Jared Polis and all of his bureaucrats.
Let's go to work. Starting out, this is Evan on one. Evan, you're on a radio show. Good morning and thank you.
Thank you. I'll just begin speaking. Cut me off or ask me questions, whatever you feel. I was born and raised along the West Coast. I was born in Seattle, educated in California, eventually came to Colorado. I had
Would you ask the question of the women too, please? I apologize, but let's focus it, okay?
What has the Republican Party done to increase, I'll just use a generic word, industry in the state of Colorado? There's really not much here.
Jobs.
You match it up with both California and my hometown of Seattle.
Stay there.
I do it all the time.
Okay, stay there.
Drive my friends crazy.
Okay, let's get an answer. Stay right there.
Sure. I mean, and jobs and industry are...
Identify when you speak.
This is Christy. I think jobs and industry are one of the keys that we have to talk to voters about. We haven't been able to do anything because the Democrats have had a supermajority control. I look at the bills our legislators run that would expand jobs, that would lessen regulations that kick jobs out of our state, and the Democrats shut it down every time.
Well, I'll also talk about oil and gas. I mean, that's the major income bearer in our state that's been attacked by the Democrats. But also they're attacking now our cattlemen. I mean, our cattlemen are afraid of having to be forced out of Colorado, and that's going to impact industry in our state. And so these are the topics that we need people in Colorado to pay attention to.
When they did meat out, Evan, you remember when they pulled the stunt on meat out and that turned that bit him in the neck? The media just went along with it. I'm going, stop.
Yeah.
You know, that was another little belt buckle buckled. You go, oh, the meat out. Evan, you want to add something to all of that?
No, fundamentally, it's a huge question. We could argue and talk about it for days.
You're right, though.
It's just that I match up Seattle with what's in Seattle, and my friends who are natives here don't understand. Because it's not just Boeing.
Yeah, but
there's many, many other companies that have been encouraged and thrive in the Puget Sound area. But I don't see a similar kind of thing here.
I got to tell you something. First of all, Stefan and I and Mr. Crowley went up to Seattle and lived because of the attempts to have, you know, urban camping. Seattle's, and that between Seattle and everything that's taking place, in Seattle's crazy. With respect, Seattle's crazy. Now, you know, the aircraft people have always, Boeing's been up there since, you know, and all those guys have been up there since, I think, the 30s, haven't they?
Oh, 1916.
Well,
Bill Boeing.
Better.
I was checking it last night.
All right, thank you. Yeah,
very long time.
So, you know, it's intrinsic too, but I think both of the women make great points on the oil and gas that was destroyed, and then Joe Biden destroys the pipeline, and then, you know, and the meat out thing I thought was like just a real great example. You're a good caller, man. I really appreciate it very much. We go to Brian. There's a line open at 732-303-696-1971. The women who are running the Republican Party in studio. Brian, you're up. Brian. Peter to Brian, Earth to Brian. I hate this because you know the guy's there. Is he there, Billy? No, he's gone. 303-696-1971. Two winning ideas. I mean, I love what you said about the meat out. That was really right. And then what happened with the oil. Two winning. What are winning ideas?
Well, I think, you know, and what we see when we look at the oil or anything else in Colorado, we see the Democrats completely just ignoring the will of the voters. People voted down restrictions on Prop 112. And as soon as Polis gets elected, he says, I don't care about the will of the voters. I want restrictions. I'm going to enact them. That's precisely what they're doing with the public option bill right now. That was voted down 4-1 on the ballot. but they're doing it.
Well, Hickenlooper did it with the death penalty.
Yes, he did.
The voters said, no, we want the death penalty. No, not so quick.
Yeah. But we have to take that as an opportunity to illustrate and say, you know what? The Democrats are actually the party of no. They're the ones, when you guys tell them, here's what we want, they say, no, here's how we're going to control your life.
Let's try them again. We go back. Where's the line open? Brian, you're on a radio show. Good morning.
Hi, good morning to you, ladies and gentlemen. But I'm one of those unaffiliated voters, and I'm upset at how the Democrats have trashed this state. You know, look at Denver in decay. Look at all the Jared Polis has managed to upset people that go to the bar, people that don't bar business owners, people that go to church. I mean, there's not a bigger dichotomy of people that he's upset. But it's not just enough to run against Polis. We got to be for something.
There you go.
And I'm not hearing that from you two. And I know you ladies are new, relatively to your position. But we're a year and 6 months away from the most consequential election in Colorado's history, and we don't have any candidates. And that's what really concerns me, and I'll let you guys
know. Stay right there, because you echo my sentiments. And listening to the women off air, they know it as well.
Yeah. Well, and Brian, this is Christy. Thank you for calling in. And first off, I 100% agree with you that, and we're in the middle, in these open seats, we can recruit candidates. That's what we're doing. You're going to see candidates come out. They have to choose when to announce. We don't get to announce for them, but we are actively recruiting people into open seats. That's what our party has to do. And then I also believe 100% you're right as far as a positive vision. A little bit earlier, I was talking about releasing a contract for Colorado from the Republican Party. Watch us. That's what we're going to be doing in the next month or so. And it is going to give you an exact picture of what Republicans stand for, what we would do different and better if we led Colorado instead of the Democrats.
Hey, Bill, it's Peter. What one thing or two things would you look for in a premier candidate?
I would look for reversing some of Jared Polis's education reform issues. I would also look for the homeless situation. I don't even visit Denver anymore because I won't spend my dollars there. I would also look for the not allowing undocumented people to have driver's license like Hickenlooper allowed to have. You know, I would like to say I'm going to roll back some of these things that have damaged our state. And that's where I'd start, rolling back the damaging policies.
Well, you know, I was going to speak with these women today, I was like that line, have you had enough? And I put a picture of Uncle Jerry there and say, have you had enough? And yes, ma'am.
This is Priscilla. I can appreciate what you're talking about with education. School choice is a big topic of conversation. I cannot defend a public government run system that has created the education gaps and the problems that we see in the minority community. And when we keep basically children hostage in a government-run system that doesn't give them the preparation to have a life, we have to change that. And it's going to take the voters of Colorado to say, we want to put kids first. We can't just talk about it, but we have to have applicable laws and policies in place that support that.
Put an addendum on it, safe schools. They have removed anybody that will defend Denver Public Schools from inside the school. That's insanity. That's insanity.
Well, Democrats have demonized Republicans for being against schools for so long. Someone's got to go in there charismatically and say, hey, we're going to reform. We're not going to change everything, but we're going to reform for make it better for everyone, teachers and students. But as soon as no one ever did that, Beaupre didn't do that years ago. You know, no one's ever gone to the schools. They just demonize the candidates, and they got to go in there and say, hey, we're not about destroying the system. We're about making it better. And I've never heard that for the last three governor candidates.
Well, I think
they're on the Republican side.
Yeah, and Brian, you hit on something. Governor Owens was, in fact, the last Republican to do that. One of the three things he ran on was adding more and better schools to minority communities in particular.
And I'm going to say, listen, the Republican Party loves teachers. They believe in me. They put me in this position, and I'm going to put in a commercial. We are going to be celebrating Teacher Appreciation Week the first week of May as a Republican Party, because we want that message out. We're not going to allow the Democrats to dictate who we are. We love teachers.
Brian, good call. We go to Bill. Bill, you're on a radio show. We're coming up on time. Bill, good morning.
Well, good morning, Peter.
Hey, man.
Good to talk to you. I haven't called you in a long, long time.
Glad you called.
I just, the one word that I really hate is the word minority. Like, we're all just Americans.
Well, that looks good on paper. You know, it's a nice slogan, but reality is...
I mean, there's families in the valley over there that have been here for 600 years.
I understand that, but that doesn't take anything away.
So yeah. I just want to get to this point. I appreciate what the ladies are doing. I get their passion. I'm behind them 100%.
Here comes the butt. Yeah.
But we have to have a candidate who is...
Plural. Candidates.
Yes. Candidates. Okay. Yes.
You're not going to take this state back without knocking out the governor. I mean, you got to... They have to knock Jared Polis out of the box. And when you do that...
who do we have?
I'll jump in real quick. This is Christy, and say... I understand the anticipation for a candidate. We want candidates too. But the last time a Republican unseated a Democrat senator, when Cory Gardner unseated Mark Udall, he jumped into that race the February or March of election year.
But beating Mark Udall.
You can do that.
Beating Mark Udall was like stepping on baby chicks. Jared Polis is a different candidate.
Well, we'll take candidates as soon as they come. We're recruiting them.
Jared Polis is a real live politician.
Don't ever think that's Mark Udall, because it isn't.
He's a real live politician.
You bet he is.
And my point is just that we have time. We want candidates too, but we want the right candidates stepping in.
Hey, Bill, good, man. Do it again. I miss your voice. Real quick, guys, I got to do a turnaround, and then we got a market update. I'd like to keep you too. I have a thing coming up, so we'll talk about it. Mighty Plumbing and Heating, right now, the perfect time to schedule your AC tune-up. This is selling refrigerators and ice to Eskimos, because it's going to be rain and snow, 25 degrees tonight, 27 tomorrow. Okay, Peter, tell them about those air conditioners, but it's level true. Sunday is 75 degrees. AC time is coming. So get in the line, but get in the front of the line and call our partner Kevin at Mighty Plumbing and Heating. Call him right now for a mighty offer. I love this. Get a 30-point inspection and safety check for $69. Best deal in town, plus Mighty will meet or beat any written offer. Kevin is my friend. We text each other stuff. And Mighty can take care of all your plumbing and heating repairs, all the replacements. The best equipment is called Rudd, R-U-U-D, Peter. And it's engineered tough and built to last. So don't forget, it's going to get hot. And your AC, it's the 69 point for everybody. And they can do furnaces. But look at this. For $69, I flipped the numbers, a 30-point inspection. Mighty Plumbing and Heating will meet or beat any written offer. Kevin's my guy. Look at him on the internet, mightyph.com, mightyph.com, or 720-340-1950. This is a good man. They've been in my house a couple different times. Kevin and his family-owned business, the reason Mighty, 155-star reviews. Look at their work. They come all coveted up. Don't forget the 30-point AC inspection for $69. Get ahead of it. Peace of mind. Stay cool this summer. A mighty difference. 720-340-1950. 720-340-1950.
News Talk 710 KNUS. Listen live at radio.com. Peter Boyles. News Talk 710 KNUS.
Here we go, everybody. Just these women off air are wonderful. It's a Monday morning, April the 19th, 2021. Amy Duncan joins us from Alpine Planning, looking at the numbers. Amy, good morning.
Good morning, Pete, and happy Monday to you. Taking a look at Wall Street, relatively quiet to start this week. The Dow is off about 100 points, S&P just down by 5, and the NASDAQ is off 25 points. And I wanted to bring this up, Pete. I was on hold with a good client on Friday with a big institution calling an 800 number to try to help her with her own account. And they were talking about, like, the news feed on the hold line was talking about, are we in a bear market or are we in the beginning of a bull market? And the consensus was they were calling it a bunny market, which, first of all, I thought was hilarious. But I think the point is very good. The visual is that markets do bounce around. That's what we're experiencing right now, somewhat of a bunny market. So the first point is remember that markets bounce. But the second point is... staying on hold with an 800 number in order to get your news is certainly not my preference for good, solid economic data. Brian and Gabe and I have always emphasized our local expertise and really knowing what our clients need and want. So if you've got some questions, avoid the 800 number. Give Alpine Planning Group a call. We're local, and we'll see if we can help you out.
303-843-0918, 303-843-0918. Investing is a matter of trust, and they will earn yours for true. Thanks, Amy. We'll do it again tomorrow, pal. Thanks for your time.
All right, Pete. See ya.
Securities and investment advisory services offered through Woodbury Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA SIPC and registered investment advisor. Alpine Planning Group and Woodbury Financial Services, Inc. are not affiliated entities. 14 West Dry Creek Circle, Littleton, Colorado, 80120.
Monday morning, everyone. Sitting in studio, Christy Burton Braun and Priscilla Rod, true to their word. These are the women running the Republican Party, and they're going to start appearing with us, and we're taking people's calls. Lines are jammed. Chad, you're on a radio show, man. Happy Monday. Good morning.
Happy Monday. It's my birthday, too, so happy
Thank
birthday.
You, man. Very cool.
To me. If I may say it myself. Hey, so I'm very optimistic about this, and I have a couple of questions about things I'm concerned that you said. One is you said that Coloradans don't want handouts, and by saying that, I think, why are you thinking that way when you should be thinking about why is it the people that want handouts voted for Democrats that, and took the handouts? Because that's who won the election, and if we're thinking that people, if we're already saying how people think, then how are we actually going to change things? Because I think that whole concept of knowing what the voters want is what the Republicans are missing. And that, to me, is very myopic. And you need to look at what these people that did want the handouts, that voted for Democrats, that created this mess we're in, what is it? What's the alternative that's going to excite them?
All right, here we go.
Well, since I'm – this is Priscilla. As I'll address that since I'm the one that said that. I'm going to talk specifically about the minority community who wants to have prosperity. They want to have choice. They want to be able to buy a home in the town of their choice. They want to be able to eat at the restaurant of their choice. They want to be able to buy the car of their choice. They can't do that on minimum wage. If they don't have the access to prosperity, they don't have the equal opportunities to live the American dream. And so really, people in the Black community and Hispanic community, minority community, want to have access to that prosperity. They don't want to just live with their hands out and begging for scraps and begging for the lowest common denominator.
You want to add
but
to it, Christy? Let me put Christy in.
I mean, I agree with Priscilla, please. And she understands what communities want, and I also think people want their jobs. Mm. They want their jobs back.
Chad, go ahead.
And that's what we can talk about.
Okay, so I 100% agree with that. What I'm saying is if you frame it as they don't want handouts, that's exactly – because the Democrats didn't frame it that way. They didn't frame it, hey, we're going to give you a whole bunch of free stuff. They framed it in a clever way that everybody thought, oh, this is great. So how are you going to reframe it so that people understand you're creating opportunity versus – Okay. Writing handouts.
I agree with you. It's all about messaging. This is what we're going to capitalize on over the next 2 years while I am the chairman of the party. And we're going to be releasing a contract for Colorado that does frame it in the right messaging terms that we know. We've done data what the unaffiliated voters care
about. Hey,
Chad,
it's Peter. Who would you like to see run as the gubernatorial hopeful?
Well, absolutely nobody that you can kill like a baby chick because that's all they ever run, right?
Right.
So it needs to be somebody outside the box.
Who?
It has
you
to
got a
be
name?
Peter. I'd love you to run.
No.
Dan Kaplis would be great.
There you go. Another good
one. A little
one.
Too right, but, you know, he'd be a good candidate.
Good call. I got jam lines. Let's go to Dave. Dave, we're coming up on time. Dave, you're on the radio show. Good morning.
Good morning. My candidate would be Dan Kaplis. He has said he wanted to run for Senate.
Well, he did.
When he was back on KNUS in the morning.
Yeah.
And then he felt that he would be a better leader in the governor's race. And, yeah, I mean, he's already been challenging Polis on every issue, mm-hmm. left and right. And
no, that'd be a good one. You know,
I'm wondering, why isn't Danny stepping up, do you know?
Well, first of all, Danny makes a ton of money as an attorney. And if someone said to me,
no,
hey,
I
Peter, agree. You know, we need a good dog catcher. And I go, no, these guys pay me pretty good to do this radio show. You know, I can't speak for Danny. He's a dear friend, but that's on him. It's not on me.
I think he wants to be there for his family.
Oh, yeah, sure. There's no question.
He doesn't want to spend all that crazy time, but I mean, he is a leader.
No, it's a good call. And let me real quick because I got to do this because we got about 2 minutes left. I appreciate. First of all, how'd you like doing the show?
It was great.
I loved it. It was awesome.
I got that. They're smiling and we're talking off air. We'll get you back ASAP. Christy Burton Brown, leave us with something this morning that you'd like the audience to hear.
I think people just need to believe with us that the Republican Party can be different, that we can run candidates who can win, that we can leave hope and the real American dream with people in Colorado, and join us, help us do it the right way, because that's what we're going
to
do.
Priscilla, leave us with something.
I want you guys to go out there and talk to someone outside of your circle. And you know what? You don't need to run for these big offices. You can run for your HOA. You can get appointed to a commission. Mm-hmm. There are a lot of places where people can get involved in local civic government. And so I would encourage people to take a look at where they can make a change.
There's a great line from Connecticut Yankee in King Arthur's Court when he said, "I'm from Missouri. You got to show me." And that's the show me state. Remember, I'm from Missouri. You got to show me. We're off in the right direction. I'll tell you what, you women have kept your word. You came in here. You took calls. You took the heat. I'm proud of both of you. Priscilla, see you again. And Christy, I'll see you again. And we'll pick it up then. Thanks, you guys both.
Thanks, Peter.
On the other side, Dr. Benjamin Tenover. Everybody on the phones, I got a 10-minute. We'll talk about we'll talk about vaccines, and we'll talk about what's taking place with the virus. And then we'll go back into open lines. It's a Monday, snow in the cast, I think. Hang on, 710 KNUS.